Welcome, welcome, everybody. This is Make Me Like This. My name is Brandon. Over here, that's Jeff. Say hi, Jeff.
Hi, Brandon. How are you doing tonight?
Match my tone. Match my tone.
Did I match your energy or did I miss your energy? I thought I was matching. I thought we were doing kind of the awkward go around. Is it always mirrored in here, or am I just not used to?
That's a good question.
To neighboring video feeds.
I don't know, but our audio only podcast listeners are going to be confused as hell.
I'm not from. I'm from an audio only world.
So you are, man.
We introduce video, and
you're fascinated. I had the thought
when I came downstairs. I was like, "Oh man, like my hair is gonna look crazy." I hope that I have time to fix it when I came on. And I was like, "Oh, score!" I get because it gives you the little video preview before you came on. So spit up on my hand and got my hair all down. And now, I mean, good thing you can't smell me.
That's the best thing about the pandemic is odorless meeting with people. No stinky perfumes, no bad breath. I haven't bought gum in 10 months.
I think that's the new pickup option. You know, contactless is kind of, met at saturation point. What Target has to do now is offer odorless pickup to where there's no smells exchanged at all.
I would choose that every, I can't imagine not choosing that ever.
It's like, contactless is the default option. Would you also like odorless for $4 extra? Would you pay $4 more for no odor, or would you, take your chances and say, how smelly could these cheese curls really be?
Yeah, yeah. And for an extra $3, we will avoid eye contact completely. And to make you feel as though this transaction didn't even happen, we will slide into your trunk. Ooh, that sounds worse than it meant to be. But and then shut it, and then you mosey on, and we pretend this never happened. I'd pay for that.
That's a good option. I was going to say take my money, but then you said slide into my trunk, and I got
sliding in my trunk
about putting money in there.
It's a new R. Kelly song. Anyway, if you're new to this channel, you're new to this podcast. The whole thing is centered around us trying to make each other like something that they might not normally like or be familiar with, or they might just hate it. Who knows? It's a fun little game we like to play, and we're playing it today. Thank you for joining us. Today, Jeff, I'm going to make you like Twitch. And I'm not talking about the DJ for the Ellen DeGeneres show. I believe his name is Twitch. He's a dancing gentleman. I'm talking about the website twitch.tv. How familiar are you with it, just as a baseline context?
It's strange. I know what Twitch is. Mm-hmm. I know that it's, I guess my familiarity with it, there's this, gosh, I remember her. Is it Kate Pike Fashion? I think it's Kate Pike Fashion. This woman who does body painting is on Twitch.
Oh, yeah. I think you shared with me her Instagram account at one point. And she does like a very dark background, and she'll paint herself in sort of like neon paints that show up like iridescently and turn herself
really
into different characters.
Stuff. Yeah. It's really, really brilliant stuff. But then I actually watched the National Women's Hockey League opening day today. They had three games streaming on their Twitch channel.
Oh, wow.
So
today, as of this very day, you were already on.
I was watching Twitch today.
Twitch. Okay. It's either a good start or a terrible start for this episode.
Arguably, like I wasn't, I mean, so I was watching that because I wanted to watch the games. And so even though it's on Twitch, I assume that that's less of the core audience of Twitch. I'm not on Twitch like I would be on other social media, where I would be in existence contributing content and also absorbing content and getting into content by the nature of the like being in the environment itself. I've always been like coming to it from the outside.
So you didn't go to Twitch looking for that. You probably followed a link on Twitter or Facebook or something like that took you to their Twitch stream.
Yeah, okay. I saw them say that there was going to be three games on today, and I thought, oh, I've been wanting to watch women's hockey with Griffin because he was curious about why it's always guys that were, that were watching. So I
he asked you that when you're watching NHL.
Yeah, he's like, why aren't there any girls out there? Is this only a guys' team? And so we had a good we've had good conversation about that. So
that's an interesting observation for like, you know, we would have just probably taken it as a default. It's like, oh yeah, these are dudes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, and it was actually like the question of why is an interesting one. There was a time where I might have responded and said, well, like, you know, men are stronger and maybe better. And that's why, you know, there's no women in this league. But like my, you know, just my thinking about, and from his perspective, like the empathy of that, like why isn't there, I mean, he could have easily said, why is there so many white guys? With this
he's not that woke yet. he's getting there. He's pretty good for five.
Yeah, but so it was a good opportunity to show that and a good, it was good hockey that we watched. The National Women's League is doing all of their games in Lake Placid this year.
Is it a bubble situation?
Yeah.
Or no one in, no one out?
Yeah. And, you know, we can acknowledge the reality of this. There's less TV revenue in the National Women's League. But it's also during non-pandemic times, it's a league that has less, like, gate revenue for the events as well. And the salaries are very disproportionate to the men's equivalent. I don't know why my intent wasn't to say all this to bash it and say it was this really good opportunity. I think what I want to say is like it works well, like, because there's not usually attendance there for these things, but like that they're housing it where the Miracle on Ice took place, and they're having all these games in a single day, and I think they might even be I could be totally wrong here. I'm just assuming that they're clustering them on weekends like this. I think putting it on Twitch, and I know they have a deal with NBC for it to be on either on NBC or NBCSN. I was impressed with what I watched today. I've always liked Olympic women's hockey and like watching women's hockey. Just haven't always been aware of where to watch it. So I was glad to pick that up in a feed and be able to. Griffin really enjoyed it. We sat there for a while and he asked a lot of questions, which is kind of his thing, and had a good conversation about stuff.
Well, and it might even be a boon to the sport that it is like the pandemic has made them seek a more accessible venue for their games, right? So they're looking at ways that they can live stream them, Twitch being one of them, it sounds like. And maybe, just maybe, that is providing more exposure than people who just kind of live in proximity to one of those games in normal times and don't think to just buy a ticket and show up, right? And this is mm-hmm. this is like a link you can click on, get sucked into it, and expose it to as many people as want to see it, right?
Right.
So that's kind of cool. So that's kind of what I'm getting at with the platform as a whole. So my introduction to Twitch has always been like, it's video games, right? It's a video game streaming platform. But
is that what it was rooted in? Like, is that its genesis? Is
that's what became
video streaming?
From my understanding of it and my connection to it a long time ago, it started out as Justin TV. There was a guy named Justin. I don't remember his last name, but he was a San Francisco entrepreneur, and he created this live stream like backpack that had like a SIM card, a webcam, and you know, this was like 2005, 2006, maybe something like that. So like really at the beginning of YouTube and everything like that. But you know, he devised this method by which he could broadcast his life. So his name was Justin. He bought Justin TV, and he just had this 24/7 webcam on. He's walking around San Francisco, he's going to bars and stuff like that, and you're just kind of seeing the world through his eyes. Even when he's sleeping, he would like set it down like in a corner or something. It just, yeah, bizarre but really intriguing. Then they opened it up so that anyone could do this. So at the time when my son was a year or two old, maybe 3 years old, I created an account because my sisters, particularly my sister who lived in Phoenix at the time, didn't get to see him very much. But they, you know, he was the only grandchild at the time. And so they were obsessed with him. And I set up a little webcam, and we would go out onto the back porch, have a bunch of toys, and they would just watch him for hours, just playing with toys and stuff. And funny enough, I found that channel because when it converted over Twitch, it's still out there. And I was able to get like, you know, 11, 12 clips of just nothingness. Like, it seems like nothingness at the time, but it's a time capsule of him at that age, like that I can hardly remember right now. So that was just like a treasure trove of things. And, that's, you know, cool. I think you and I have talked about this in the past of like, you know, record your kids as much as you can, just the mundane things, the, you know, their voices, and, you know, because you're going to forget how the pitch and the tone of their voice sounds at this time. And I uncovered this just because as it transitioned from Justin TV to Twitch. So he sold it to Amazon, and I don't know if the Amazon purchase was before or after it switched to Twitch, but he, you know, it really, I think, got its legs from people streaming their video games. So hooking up their computer, their camera, and then people watching, you know, play video games. But it has become, so there are a whole lot of different categories that don't have anything to do with video games. There's a just chatting channel, which is very popular, where it's like people who are, you know, just talking, you know, it's basically like a vlog, but it's live and you can engage with your audience. This the whole thing that makes this, I think, so much more engaging than YouTube is that it's focused on live. Most people, unless you have a huge followership, most people can't just upload a self-contained video. It's got to be live, or it's got to be transmitted live. So even if you have like a clip that you're showing, you're doing it live, you know, you're feeding it in, mm-hmm. in a live stream. But there's a talk show and podcasts, you know, category. There's music. So Questlove has a weekly show where he's, you know, he turns up his camera and stuff like that. He's got his decks and he's DJing, he's playing music, he's interacting with the chat and stuff like that. There's a guy I found who, for tips, he's rapping whatever people put in the chat. So it's like an improv rap. So he's like,
that's kind of cool.
You know, people put like, you know, George Washington and minced meat and stuff like that. So he's just, he's got a beat going and he's just going through and he does a bar with, you know, that line and then swings it around to the next one and stuff like that. is really cool and interesting. So there's all kinds of really fun stuff. There's cooking, people who do, you know, walk you through making in different recipes and stuff like that. But it's really a venue built around live engagement and live, the whole fact that it is live in a way that, like, you know, you can go live on YouTube, you know, but there's, that's such a small percentage of the entirety of YouTube, right? So like over, you know, over the holiday break, I, you know, just in, you know, in talking to my son, who's like, you know, really into Fortnite and Rocket League and stuff like that, and looking into how we can set a channel up for him and stuff like that. And so I started getting into it, and I found, like, oh my gosh, like, I, like, think of a video game from your youth, like a very obscure one, like Bill Lambier's Basket Brawl. You can go on there and find, oh, that's there's someone. There's someone playing Bill Lambier's Basket Brawl. Yeah, it was an NES game. It's like basketball.
Was the intent to have all scoring be under 80 points for each team? And you got points for, like, throwing people down on their back in the lane.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You did well if you murdered someone. It was very...
And it was set up like a traditional video game. Instead of being like a sports game, it had levels, and the big boss level was Jordan, and
he would not admit to that.
Yeah. You get to the final level, and you've got to throw Jordan on the floor as many times.
Lambier is so petty; he would not admit Jordan to being like the primo boss. He'd say it was like Chocolate Thunder, Daryl Dawkins, or something.
Growing up in Metro Detroit and being a Detroit sports fan in general, there's something really interesting about your hometown team being villainous, and having the to a certain extent, like with the Red Wings, like they were viewed as the Yankees of hockey, so it's like villainous in another way, like that they're unfair, they buy everything, and that's why that's why they're good, is because they've got money.
That 2002 team especially, right, with Chelios and Hull and Shanahan and all those guys, right?
That was, but kind the bad of boys in particular were jerks, yeah, and played the game, yeah, in a way that it wasn't intended to be. I mean, you could say objectively that they weren't playing pure basketball, that they were obstructionists, right? They were loophole artists in exploiting aspects of the game rather than thriving with them.
Did you think that when you were a kid?
No.
Were you cognizant of that? Or just like, no, they're really good, and people are jealous. And
I was a little bit too young to be a Bad Boys like fan because I was born in 85. So sure. I think until you're like probably like 7 or 8, I think 7 or 8 is when sports are between 7 and 10 are sports are the best and that they're ever going to be. You're the balance of innocence, the joy and innocence of just loving things, and your cognitive awareness are just at the right perfect balance at that point. Before that, you don't really have a sense of awareness to be able to appreciate it. After that, there's so many other things. Your life starts getting so much better. there's so much more opportunities for you to engage within, and you as time goes on, you become more cynical and jaded, and then you turn into the people that you become a human. Yes. The tempers everything to where nothing is exhilarating and everything is just mundane. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Until you have kids, then you have to start that circle all over again.
Then you live through them, right? To answer your question that you asked me before I went into my philosophical dribble, I don't have a, like, the greatest living memory.
Okay.
I by the time I came to appreciate like Isaiah and Dumars and Lambeer were already on the downside of their career, and we were into the middle 90s when they were no longer competing for championships.
Yeah.
But I had like my father's zeal and excitement and hatred for Michael Jordan and the Bulls. I was already looking at it from a historical lens of what was rather than what was current at that time. But Michael Jordan at that time and the Bulls had taken over. So I've got this weird thing where like I don't really hate the Bulls, like, because I grew up and they were dominant and had no competition,
right.
You know, so like there wasn't, I didn't have that, but I guess like the thought there is I think it's kind of cool to be a fan of people who subvert things or like do things in a different way. I guess you could do things in a different way and it be like looked at as universally positive. But like, I kind of like the anti-hero. I mean, like people like Batman, and Batman isn't all good or all bad. Like, I'm a big fan of, MF Doom, the rapper, like passed away in October, and recently his family made that known. But like I loved that he wore a mask and took on this persona of a villain in his songs, and like cut up comic book samples and put it, I guess cartoons, like 80s cartoons, Spider-Man, anything Dr. Doom related, like that kind of cool creativity and differentness is something that I don't know. I like enough to spend 7 minutes here trying to articulate to you what I like about it.
Yeah,
there's something interesting about it. It's kind of I have no problem with your son liking Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors, despite the fact that he lives in the Eastern time zone.
Right.
I think there's nothing wrong with being a fan of greatness, and I don't think that there's anything wrong with like if he stopped liking them because they haven't won a championship in a little bit, and decided to be a Lakers fan and appreciate that. I don't think that there's anything wrong with chasing and appreciating greatness. I don't look at it as being a bandwagon fan, but I also think, I mean, I can't think of the NBA equivalent of it right now. I can't even think of, you got to help me out, Brandon. What's a team in sports right now that has got like a reputation of just being like bad dudes, or don't play the game the right way, or like universally not liked?
I would guess, that's how much of the country views SEC football, right? It's like,
Alabama, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though, I'm not sure how founded those claims are. Although my best friend used to teach at LSU, and he had he gave their backup quarterback a bad grade once, and then he was promptly removed from that class. So,
yeah.
Who's to say that doesn't happen everywhere, but I would say that, in general, it feels as though the SEC, isn't as mindful of the rules as the rest of the country may be. We've already talked about, you were there the night of the Malice at the Palace, right? That's not the same thing, but.
Does the going to work Pistons have the same reputation as the bad boy Pistons, though?
I think no, because I don't think that situation reflected on the team, because it was very clearly the fans. And you know, that's what you know, the sportscasters were saying, like, man, Detroit fans are garbage. You guys are trash. You're all trash. I remember watching that, and like, it was, I'm not really exaggerating. I think that's what they said immediately following that. And, you know, Carol was in tears. She's like, what's happening? What's happening? But man, like, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. And I don't know that I, because when the 88, 89 Pistons were, you know, in the, you know, winning championships and stuff, that was when I was like 11, 12. And that was my first exposure to sports. Cause you know, my dad grew up in the Philippines. He wasn't a huge sports fan of any, mm-hmm. of any kind. Right. So it's just something that I sort of fell into because my peers were talking about it a lot. And so I would turn it on, and then I got really into it, and I bought my very first hat. It was a Pistons hat with like the cursive Pistons embroidery on the front. And then got really into that. So I didn't have anything to compare it to, you know, like I didn't know mm-hmm. that was, you know, untoward throwing people down on the ground or something. I just thought that's just part of the game until years later. Right. And really having that inform my opinion of the Bulls and Michael Jordan, I wasn't able to appreciate Jordan's greatness until much later, and then really not objectively until the Last Dance documentary, right? And,
really?
And seeing that. Yeah, you know, he stopped that championship, that dynasty, right? And then as long as he was there, they couldn't get back over that hill of beating the Bulls to get back to that, and then kind of fell apart. So it was like the, you know, in my short experience as a sports fan, it was like the rise and then quick demise of that, you know, of that dynasty. And Jordan was a big reason why, right? So it's like, yeah, screw that guy. Oh, he's keeping my guy Isaiah off of the dream team. No, this guy will not do. I bite my thumb at him. You know, that's what I said as a 12-year-old.
I think our age difference with that of and mutual. I mean, we should be clear. We're not saying that everyone should have an awareness of sports. Like you talked about your father, and I kind of realized I slipped into this, like, sports are familiar to me. I grew up on sports, and I actually had a bias that, like, everybody likes sports for a long time, that it was this great relatable thing. And now I'm actually at the point where, like, I kind of get uncomfortable when people think that that's an appropriate icebreaker or small talk thing with people that they don't know. Say what you want about talking about the weather, far more universal and a safer place to go than talking about sports. But all that being said, like, I want to say that I want to believe that I've always just appreciated these things that I'm going to say about sports and team sports in particular, or not even that, like individual sports as well. Yeah. I like two things in particular that can define my enjoyment from sports. I like pure brilliance. I like athletes, and this translates to like, I'll say this is the same with rappers, like, because I love rap too.
Yeah,
like people at the pinnacle of their profession, the artistry that's involved in that, and watching the pure brilliance of people executing everything as they should in like the most textbook way, and then going beyond. And this is important to me too, like executing it in a way that is it redefines what the expectations for brilliance means in those situations, which I think is the bridge to the other thing I like. I like when when people completely play games or have a different voice or a different cadence, in, if we're talking hip hop, or take a completely different angle about things, and maybe in a way that bothers people initially, mm-hmm. maybe even bothers me initially when I hear it because it's jarring, or when I see it because it's jarring. Why? And I think that they're more closely related than people give them credit for. But it's when the Twitter ghosts come out, or the Twitter eggs come out and shout boo at, like, this is not the way the game is made to be played, or this MC is garbage because they're talking about this, or their cadence is sloppy, or those beats are just like don't sound smooth, they're jarring, they're jerky. They're not authentic because they're not talking about themselves. They're playing a character within this realm. I really like when people are different.
Yeah.
And especially if you're different and somewhat abrasive, like, that's just intriguing to me because I think it sets up well for conflict. Mm-hmm. And especially when these supernovas that everyone universally appreciates, sometimes people go from villain to that brilliant, say, like, there's, you could be both at different. It's why professional wrestling is something that I really like, because I think like you could turn worlds upside down with the stories. The tension and the conflict is where I think the enjoyment for these things comes from. You have two people that are the most elite, or two teams that are the most elite and do things that are textbook and some in sports, that's a great, like, just pure battle. That's Brady Manning. That's early on, that was Jordan Bird or Jordan Magic.
Right.
Or it's definitely not Bad Boy Pistons Jordan. That's right. More of the second part here, that's like when you've got rappers going against each other that are very different from one another and cause you to take on take a side. And I like appreciating both. I like not taking the sides and appreciating the situation. Now, that all that being said, I hated the Colorado Avalanche. And wished all sorts of harm on them. And that's part of the joy of this too, is that, like, you can let yourself get wrapped up and you can be a Biggie fan and think that Tupac is the worst person in the world. But in the end, if that were true, if that other side were truly garbage, you actually wouldn't be in the situation that you were in. That it actually, like, that it, the conflict is compelling, and I think that I think you can extrapolate that to a lot of things. That like those things is what makes all of entertainment interesting, all of art interesting. Yeah. Is these juxtapositions and seeing brilliance and seeing difference.
Right. And talent versus talent, and brilliance versus brilliant. I just realized that you were the age I was, your age during the Avalanche Red Wings kind of rivalry is probably what I was during the Bulls and Pistons, and had a similar mm-hmm. like kind of affinity for it because of that. And having that sort of form your worldview of sports and rivalries.
Right place, right time. I mean, like, is basketball your favorite sport?
Oh yeah.
And is it because of that? Like was Michigan State always your proximity to East Lansing has to have had an influence, and there was, while they weren't, I don't know how good they were in the early 90s, but I mean, not you good. Had the legacy of Magic and Judd Heathcote and all that. And
Izzo
start in the early to mid 90s?
He started in 95. So hit like 95. My freshman year at Michigan State was his, I think, second full year as head coach. And he, I remember I was in the dorm and I went down to the cafeteria to grab some food. And he was standing outside of the Brody Hall cafeteria trying to get people to come to games. And mm-hmm. and saying like, hey, I'm Tom. I'm the new coach. We gotta come. You gotta come to the games and stuff like that. And he's like, he comes up. He's like, hey, where are you from? I was like, I'm from here. He's like, oh yeah, you're probably used to going to games. It's just so funny because like, this is a now Hall of Fame coach who was like begging people to come to the, come to yeah. the games. You know, now it's like, yeah. You know, I'm sorry, we can't accommodate everyone who wants a ticket, you know. So yeah, it's interesting because, like, you know, again, I didn't grow up with that parental influence on sports and stuff, and really just getting that from my friends, people I would hang out with, and only getting into it like really in college, you know, being in that environment, that's what kind of really, like, there was a time period from like freshman year until a couple years post graduation from college that it was just like, I would cry if they would lose a playoff, you know, a tournament game or something like that. I was just like so into it. And it's like when my son was born, I was like, I remember distinctly holding him sleep, finally getting him to sleep as we're watching a game. And then something happened and I wanted to shout. And I was like, oh, if I shout, I'm going to wake him up. And it was just like, that was like the first domino of like, oh, I don't want him to see me angry at a, you know, an 18-year-old kid missing a free throw. And that just sort of like took it down like considerably to now I can watch a game with pretty much no emotion either way. If, you know, win big, bad loss, I just kind of just watch it, you know, as I'm
right.
scrolling through my phone, you know.
But you still enjoy it. It's interesting how there's a lot of similarities between you and I, and I imagine a lot of folks with that. Like, how long can a passion burn for that is like true fanaticism, or like truly fanatic, with the definition of being a fan, right?
Yeah.
Without it transitioning into a later stage, where you either disengage more from it, or you take on maybe a more analytical appreciation, or like some sort of, combination of both, which is kind of like a analytical distance, I guess, from it.
Yeah.
But something I want to go back to, two things. So Pistons with basketball predates Spartans for you.
For me, yeah. Yeah.
And then I wonder, because that's interesting to me. And I think it might... Definitely could be difference in, we're different people, we're not the same people. Newsflash for you,
I can't connect this part of my my beard from here to here is blank.
And I shaved my face, I bicked it down for the first time in my children's lifetime anyway.
Yeah.
And they were scared. But then like 2 days later, I had a beard.
They're like, Dad, you don't have a chin.
Griff actually came into our bed and it was dark in the morning. And he just kind of like was half asleep and went between us. And I could see the silhouette. I mean, like you could see in the dark, right? But you can't see like totally clearly. And I had my glasses off too, so I was seeing things blurry. But I could see his thought process in his face. He was looking at me, and he just goes, "Hey, your face looks different." But like, I imagine he went through this thought process of first off, like, not recognizing who I was. And I don't know if he was like, who's this guy laying next to my mom? Or if he was just like he knew from the jump that it had to be me, but his brain had to convince himself that, or like identify what was different before he could talk to me.
Right.
But I love those moments where you can see, like, you know, the, like, when you play Battleship, you see where all your pieces are, but like and you're assuming that like everyone else knows where things are. And then when they make a silly play, or better yet, you're playing Connect Four and someone's got three lined up diagonally and vertically, and they're going to win no matter what. And then somehow they miss both of those opportunities and you block them both. You're just like flabbergasted, or like, yeah. you get to see this whole process and you're just thinking in your head, like, how is this person thinking right now across this? How can this person not be behaving in a predictable way?
It's because they're five and you've played Connect Four for 30 years.
Right. Well, I see it with, like, I mean, I'm on the other end of that too. I want to be clear. I'm not the person sitting observing people living their lives in idiotic ways that, and not be on the other side of that.
Yeah.
Like, people throughout my life and will continue to look at me and be like, why is this guy the way he is? And makes the decisions that he makes and goes through the thought process that he goes through. I think it's so cool if you can, in that moment, take yourself out of like, oh, he really doesn't get it, or she doesn't really get it, to, wow, I can see their thinking. Like, I just have to wait for them to get there, even though I'm over there. It's kind of this cool, like, intimate moment.
Yeah.
That has no words to it.
Yeah. Speaking of intimate moments with no words, on Twitch,
you're ovulating.
not for another 3 days.
Okay.
There are some gals on Twitch who basically, they'll just lay, like, they've got the camera pointed at their bed and they're just kind of laying there in, like, you know, hardly any clothes or anything. And they're just sitting there on their phone and they've got like
a Fat Albert t-shirt.
If it was Fat Albert t-shirt, I wouldn't question it at all. This is, they're in basically a bikini top and like a skirt or something. And they're just laying there, and people are donating money and, you know, subscribing. And so they've got like 5,000 people who are watching them just laying there being hot. That's really weird to me. Like, I don't want to shame them, because I'm not saying they shouldn't be doing this. I'm just saying they're not providing any, like, they're not engaging. They're not, I don't know. I don't know. It's just people like want to look at a person who's pretty good looking. But it's just kind of odd to me. 'Cause like, if you go to the browse area of Twitch, you can see it's like, it's sorted by like,
I got to switch the screen that I'm on so I can see.
it's not that important.
No, that's okay. Cuphead.
Yeah. Fun game. But there are definitely, this is, can you hear my audio?
Playing the MERS one.
Yeah, this is the guy. This is the guy I was talking about.
You're talking about MERS?
Yeah. Oh, do you know him?
Yeah, I like MERS.
Okay, so he has this channel where you put stuff into the, you can see people are putting snorting happy sugar, voodoo chili, bidet, dwarf shortage, and he works them into his rap.
I love that we got to this moment. I think
this is the guy I was talking about. You knew
I'm a big MERS fan, but I come to, like, you describing him here, I mean, it makes total sense that he would be able to do this. I mean, he's great, but like,
so he's known outside of Twitch.
He's not just an artist. He's got a deep catalog of So reset. Make me like Twitch. Brandon says, "Hey, Merz is on there."
Okay, I could have just done that. Oh man, I like Twitch. Yeah, that's the guy I was talking about earlier. I was like, yeah, he just had a beat going, and he would just
I'm gonna put you back. Some of the it looks like I'm looking at you. I mean, I'm still looking.
I mean, no, you're not. It's okay.
But I'm watching Merz now.
That's right. That's right. So there is some interesting stuff on there. There was a lady who was standing in a little kiddie pool, and she's in a bikini, and she's got a cake, and she's like, okay, if I get 50 subscribers in the next 10 minutes or whatever, then I'm going to smash this cake on me. And sure enough, bing, 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 she got that. And each subscriber means they're paying $5 a month, you know, so 50 subscribers and who knows how many she has, but that's $5 times 50 per month in just that little portion that she got. So then she takes this cake and she goes, boom. And like, I was like, what is happening here?
You ready to play a game?
Sure.
Okay.
Do I need a cake?
We're playing a game now.
Okay.
We are going to continue this conversation with the understanding that this makes people happy.
Yeah.
And that everyone in this situation is winning because of it.
Sure.
So I think it's a good empathy activity. Like these, there's consent in this,
yeah.
And you know, I think that it's a stretch. You can really put your beliefs and your context into this situation and make this good or bad.
Yeah.
And I think an easy thing to say is to infer that these women are young and they need a revenue stream, and that they're doing this in some way because it's an asset. And they're being exploited by a system and a society that perpetuates women as sexual objects.
Yeah.
And you would be right with a lot of those things, and I think you would be hit on some of the assumptions that these women might not have come to this were their life situation different. But their life situation being different might be things other than just money. It could be these women feel empowered by doing this. Maybe they like feeling sexy and they like being adored. They like the feedback that they get from this. And maybe that life circumstance changing would be if they got a different job and it took up more of their time, or they started a family, or they weren't in the midst of a pandemic and could go out and do different things. I want to, and then from the people watching this standpoint, I want to think that people can appreciate seeing a beautiful woman or a beautiful man or a beautiful person and appreciate that there's like some interaction there.
Yeah.
With that, there's also people like feeling voyeuristic, and like they're getting a glimpse of something that maybe they shouldn't, and they're actually getting an invite from a person to to do this. And also people like, I mean, I think people, everyone should go to therapy. And I think that if doing this provides you an escape that you appreciate and like actually fills a niche in your life and fulfills you, I make hip-hop music. Am I the best? No, nowhere near that. Is there people that could look at it and say that I, as a now, I've moved on from being an undergraduate, I'm not 20 years old anymore, and I'm not going to be making any money off of it. Maybe I should stop doing that kind of stuff, because like, who am I kidding? And you've got kids and everything like that, yeah. But it's a hobby. People don't balk at it because it's relatively harmless to them. Like, me making music doesn't bother them. But if I was really into watching someone smash a cake on their chest,
yeah,
that would be my thing, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And you know, you are right to point that out. I think my take on it was not one of like, oh, you know, like shaming the women on there. I was feeling like, oh, this feels kind of exploitative, but you're right. They are in complete control of that. They are, you know, choosing to do that. They're benefiting financially from that. And, you know, if in the case of like, okay, like comparing it to a strip club or something like that, they're from the safety of their home where people mm-hmm. can't, you know, get at them, you know, in person. Right. So there's a whole lot about it that, I'm not at all against it. I'm puzzled by it, you know, but, sure. but also a little bit intrigued at like, oh, wow, you can get 6,000 people to watch you do this. That's pretty amazing. You know, like that's a lot. That's a lot.
You're making me think of something. Now, first off, I don't want you to feel like you're being attacked, because
no,
like,
not at all.
My, I wasn't talking directly to you. I was just, yeah. I guess I kind of leapt. I mean, I assumed, and that's what we do to like, our world is rooted with details, in a mosaic of all these details, and the grout connecting all it together is our assumptions and our inferences and our experiences and just the our biases and our lens. So like, yeah. Even me, I'm guilty in that, because my schema told me, oh, this is a objectification of women thing. Let's be more broad and let's be empathetic, and because that's where the interesting part is.
Yeah.
So not an attack on you, but like,
no.
I just thought to myself, like, what's something else? Like, what's some content that I myself have no, initially have no idea why this would be engaging? And I thought of ASMR stuff.
Oh.
And thinking about the hits that those videos get. And then my cycle with it was a collegially, you know, like in a work setting, those videos being shared, and then the context being like, let's laugh at this because this is ridiculous. I'm sorry. Let's laugh at this because
stop it. You're giving me, I don't want your tingles, Jeff. But it's funny that you say that, because ASMR is one of the hugest communities on Twitch. And I don't know if you knew that, and you said, oh, God, what are you doing? Stop it.
I'm clicking that pen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I totally forgot I was on video there. So see, I'm from an audio world.
Absolutely. Yeah.
This is not my body. This is just, you know, an avatar that.
Yeah. So there is a plethora of ASMR live. These are just the videos that are live right now on Twitch, of people doing ASMR. And they've even got, I'm trying to find one. This gal right here, Oh, ear licking. I'm gonna click on it. No, because it's gonna screw up my recommendations. But there's, see the microphone she's got? It's got an ear on each side. And so, like, you know, for this, these are like $600 microphones, and then she's like licking one side. So like the, you imagine the person on the other end has got like the stereo headphones in, and then it feels like a, you know, this lady is licking your ear. And you know, a lot of them are dressed very, very scantily. Not saying there's anything wrong with that. But you know, it's a niche, right? It's certainly.
And what's the enjoyment factor there? Cause I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm going to be vulnerable about this. I laughed in a group context with it. And I think even if, you know, you can't be retroactive about it, but even to myself, now there's a humor about it. Mm-hmm. But after my initial discovery and introduction of to this world, I started to get curious about it. Like, there's an initial reaction that you have to it, and then if you get past it and you start considering it further, some interesting things can happen in mm-hmm. your mind about how you feel about stuff. But I wonder, like, let's do it with this, and let's go with you. Why do people enjoy ASMR? Am I saying it again? Am I missing a word?
ASMR.
There?
Yeah. ASMR. Yeah.
ASMR.
ASMR. It's audio sensory something something.
ASMR.
Hey, you got any of them ASMR videos? I want to listen to
people. Are people either are I think people are either acronyms are words, or acronyms are letters, individual letters, and spell it out. So I'm a word person.
Words.
Make them all words, because it's easier that way.
I think ASMR it creates tingling sensations. You know, you have the little hairs on the back of your neck stand up. And I think that there's something enjoyable about that too. Certain people, for me, it feels weird. It's like I you know, I listen to some just see what, and I think I was part of that same conversation that you were in, where it was like sort of introduced to us, you know, the concept of it. And so they just kind of like looking at it and being like oh, okay, I'll try it out, because it's like 3D listening, right? And then I was like, too familiar for me. I don't like it. But my son really likes it, and there are a lot of YouTube channels that they're like just tapping on the microphone, or they've got like scissors and they're going, and he says it relaxes him. So he puts those on while he's studying, while he's doing homework. So to each their own. It's not for me, but I guess a lot of people like that sensation of, you know, of feeling something, right? There's some sort of synaptical response that you get from that. Like, I got it too, and I just didn't care for it, you know. It's kind of like like some people are ticklish, some people are not, you know. So I don't know. So
check this out. I was curious, and thank you for talking so that I could research.
Good Google.
Yeah. But so this is a research study, and the conclusion is that there's significant increased activation in specific areas of the brain of the tingling compared to non-tingling moments.
Interesting.
So like there is it makes sense. Because I guess it, like being an analytical person and then also like trying to balance that with lived experiences, it makes sense to me that your reality, what you feel is probably would translate to neuroscience. I mean, if you feel it, your brain is doing something. And so you are getting some sort of a reaction out of it. I think like when I think of ASMR, I think of probably even in that introduction group, in our shared introductory experience, let's say that, I think that people were thinking it was humorous because they were thinking it was just false, that this is not a real lived experience people are having. They're imagining it in their mind. But you know, your son is a great example of, like, I enjoy the tingly feeling that I think that the process, and I buy into this. I'm buying what they're selling. There's also a disproportionate amount, like, of conventionally attractive people versus, like, conventionally homely people doing ASMR. Right. And I think that probably is why my brain made that connection between it. Because if it wasn't hot people doing things that are slightly different and odd, it might not be. Or not odd, but doing things that you wouldn't normally see attractive strangers doing in public.
Yeah.
There's not as much enjoyment to it, right?
Sure. Sure. I think the other part of what made it so humorous to us is that there's probably a connotation that it's like, connected to sexual arousal, and like thinking of, like, oh, look at these nerdy guys who are, you know, getting off on this very weird thing, right? And that was probably where some of the comedy came from, or maybe even the discomfort.
That's interesting. So you're a person that I know that is, like, that sizes things up pretty quickly, and kind of like, again, this is my thinking of, I think that the way that your mind works is that you identify the thing, like, that's core to things, that's going on pretty quickly.
Maybe.
This is stupid, like, me trying to shrink your head.
Okay.
What I'm going to say is, like, I was just like, the way I took it in was like, oh my gosh, there's all these things going on here. Like, I think I was just outright laughing because of the silly behavior, mm-hmm. but I was also laughing because other people found it funny. I didn't quite fully understand what was in front of me. So mm-hmm. it was humorous to me because I was just like, what's going on here? But my brain did not immediately go that this is sexual, because mm-hmm. it's on YouTube. There's no boobs, and it wasn't immediately on the surface that to me. Later on, when I was by myself, mm-hmm. I started thinking that way. But maybe what I'm thinking about too is, like, when I was in college, me and my friends used to watch porn all the time and laugh hysterically at it. So in that group setting of, and we elected to not view it on the face for what it was intended to be. Like, we weren't giving ourselves to the brilliant story writing of the underwater porn. Because we saw it in a somewhat ironic way. That's what our groupthink was, and it was an unspoken thing, but that's what the reaction became to it.
But if I
was sitting in that room by myself watching the same porn, would I take the arousal in the sexual angle to it? I think I'd be more likely to do it. And in a lot of ways, it's because, like, the context for porn to me is an individual thing, unless you're in a relationship with a person and you're utilizing that to like augment your romanticism with a person, your intimacy with a person.
Well, I wonder if the aspect of you're a group of people and it's somewhat taboo, and we're college kids, we don't care, we're going to normalize this, and we're going to put it on the same way that Sports Center is on at a bar or something, and we're normalizing that, and it's funny because it's like sort of subverting in a way.
Subversion. That's what it is. I mean, my favorite bar in Grand Rapids that I went to as a you know, as a when I was in Grand Rapids a lot, mm-hmm. Would put Ren and Stimpy and like Japanese cartoons and stuff on the TV instead of the news or sports. And that's part of the reason I liked it was because even though TVs aren't made for sports, TVs in restaurants in Michigan pretty much are, well, right now they're just off. But, you know, that's what the context is. So, I mean, and it's kind of tying back to something earlier in the conversation, like things out of the context of what they're meant to be are enjoyable. Like if you took ASMR literally and you did not permit yourself to have a comedic response to it, would you have a response at all to it? Mm-hmm. Not unless you actually legitimately enjoyed the product that you were seeing.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's interesting. There's so much, there's a lot on Twitch that I've been really enjoying. There's a channel that's old SNL and they just play old sketches from the 70s, 80s, 90s, zeros, just randomly and without commercials. You know, I'm not sure of the copyright implications. Nice. Yeah. They've got old commercials. They've got there's just all kinds of stuff on there. It's very cool how niche you can get in finding things. So
can
it's,
you
it's
not
been
watch
fun.
Anything? You can't watch anything in archive, or can you?
You can. So when you broadcast, then it can record, like keep your broadcast as is on your channel for I think 14 days, more if you're a partner, and those kind of like just vanish into the ether once that those 14 mm-hmm. days are up. But you can make little clips, and your community can make clips. So if you're streaming and you're, let's say you're introducing your new album and you're playing it, you know, live, you know, over the stream, and I was like, oh, I really like that part. I can, as a consumer, as someone watching, create a clip, and those clips sort of live in perpetuity on your channel. So you can look at past broadcasts, you can look at clips, and you can I guess that's it. But it's kind of cool in that the experience is first and foremost about the now, the present, the mm-hmm. the live stream, which I think is kind of cool. And it's in the past month or two, I've been gravitating to Twitch more than I have YouTube, and really? I think that's because of the sort of the nature of it just being so geared to right now. You're interacting with people right now, or this is something that's being transmitted and it's going away. So it's all about that present experience. I usually on my iPad, you know, if I'm, you know, I'm just kind of like winding down at the end of the night, and you know, just watching on there. I do, you know, have it up in a second screen. There's a couple of our former colleagues, both who have been streaming, who I've been just kind of keeping tabs on and watching them. But yeah, it's. I mean, you know, you can do it on your phone, you can do it on your iPad, you can do it on TV, you can do it on your computer. It's very, you know, it's very accessible. So it's cool, and it's diverse in that anyone can just stream live, you know, like a CNN, like, you know, ESPN,
like
whatever. It's really
cool. I like the live aspect of it. Something when you said this, the SNL episodes that are just kind of, or it's not even full episodes, right? It's just like
correct.
Random clips that'll play in any sequence. Do they even have any theming to like how they do it, or is it just like
it's pretty random?
Yeah. So like you could see Chevy Chase and Will Ferrell in back to back clips, right?
Yes.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
So. When you were talking about that, I thought about how much I, one, really appreciate Like, I appreciate watching Friends on TBS because it's a random Friends episode that I have no agency over deciding that that's what I'm going to watch.
Sure. You didn't have to choose anything.
I haven't watched Friends in a long time since it left Netflix. But the other side of that is I primarily watch YouTube. I guess I intentionally watch YouTube when I'm watching it on the smart TV. Mm-hmm. So on TV, in place of cable.
Right.
And it's in a group setting, and it's usually me and my wife. But to say that that's where I normally consume it is probably inaccurate. I'm not always aware that I'm consuming YouTube mm-hmm. when I'm at my computer. It just kind of happens. I watch a couple videos and then I disengage and then I forget that I actually did that.
Yeah.
But my browser history would betray my belief that I usually watch it on the TV. But that's where I like to watch the clips of the day. What I found myself doing the last little bit, and maybe it's because I don't like watching the I don't watch late show clips anymore on there, because I think that the pandemic I watch Colbert more and I watch Fallon and Seth Meyers less, mm-hmm. and which is weird because it's the opposite of how I did it before pandemic.
Yeah.
But I get decision fatigue. Like,
yeah,
I get kind of annoyed. God, I'm such a baby. I'm tired of having all of this autonomy and like the weight of choice kind of sucks. And
well, you know, like at the end sometimes. Of the day, yeah. I mean, it's better
ultimately. But
sure. But you know, you're making decisions all day at work, and then you come home, or you're home, but then you turn towards personal time and you're making hundreds of decisions as a parent, as a spouse, as a homeowner. And then you get the kids down to bed. Everything is, you know, it's just downtime. And you want to turn your brain off. So you put on The Bachelor. So you put on any hockey game, you know, and you veg out, you know, because you don't want to make decisions. You don't want to. That's why it's hard sometimes. It's like Friday night. It's like, hey, you scroll through 8 pages of Netflix, not knowing what to put on.
I hate that.
And you end up just putting on an episode of Friends because you don't want to do that, you know? So there is certainly, it's not that you don't want to make decisions. It's that, you know, or that decision making is difficult. It's just decision fatigue, right? And you're just done with it. You want to veg out. You want to unwind. You want to turn it off.
I found myself in a situation last night. I flooded my backyard rink. So I guess I do a real quick recap for people that don't make backyard rinks.
The overlap in that Venn diagram.
Yeah, so
people
so,
who listen to this and people,
people
who have
that listen
home
to
rinks.
This and backyard rink people. I make a big wood box and I put a tarp, a white liner down in there, and then I put the garden hose in there and send gallons of water into a swimming pool that will eventually become a rink. It took, I think, 6.5 hours to have that go. And I didn't have the ability to start it during the day yesterday. I wanted to do it yesterday so that I could take advantage of our consistently cold and relatively low precipitation that's coming in the next week. A good week to do it. overdue, I usually drop liner and flood in December. So now, forget about backyard ring stuff. Doesn't matter anymore. I needed to stay up. You never know what's going to go wrong when you're just letting your hose run into your backyard. Mm-hmm. Two, last year when I started flooding, had a minor hiccup when the water tank in my basement exploded and flooded the entire basement floor in the 3 minutes that it took to get to the breaker downstairs to turn off the water pump. We're not on city water. We're on well water. Wells have electric pumps that are consistently pumping water into a collection tank, a water tank in your house. And that water tank is like lots of gallons of water.
Yeah.
Because people drink and use water in their home. And you need to have it there on demand. It's not going to go down to the well and get it. and then it's all of a sudden there. So I was up till 5 a.m. last night. Yeah. And that might be why this isn't my best podcast ever. I'm not great right now. I'm okay.
You're a little loopy. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? You know, Hall of Famers had batted 200 in some games. So hey. It's okay. It's okay.
Some people play with concussions and they have the game of their career. Yeah.
Well, speaking of concussions, I watched A Night in Miami.
Did you?
Yeah. And a big reason why I watched A Night in Miami is because I was like, Netflix isn't giving me what I need.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch hockey. I've watched hockey all week. What can I watch that's going to like just make the hours melt? Because I know I'm going to be here for a while. And Amazon usually sucks at serving up what I want, but they took up like all the tiles across their top row with each one of the characters' faces.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna click that. And I usually don't in Netflix. I don't usually click it. It was appealing. I mean, I like those characters, and I like the idea of it being like this meeting happened. These people were hanging out together. We know the events around it. Like we know Ali knocked out Liston, and that those people were there, and that they celebrated together afterwards. But we don't know we don't know everything about that night. Yeah. And so let's do like a historical fiction kind of thing. That's right. That's right up my alley. It was interesting. Yeah. But if it wasn't new, I might not have grabbed it. Like if I had missed the boat and this was like, you know, a couple weeks later, I might not have hit that because I was not in the mood to mine out and find the thing that I want to watch.
Yeah. They made the decision for you by putting up so much advertisements for it. You couldn't miss it.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like I very rarely make the argument for like the past was better. I don't think the past was necessarily better. I think on-demand content is great. I think all these content choices are great. But I kind of miss like when there's less out there and people there's more talk about less things.
Yeah.
It's easier to get excited about stuff. I'll admit, like I'm not always into all the obscure stuff. I have some obscure stuff, like any wannabe hipster is into obscure content. And but I just want to watch what's good. Like I want Netflix to say, hey, this is the good stuff that you want to watch, so that when people talk about it, you know what's going on. Because I honestly can't keep up with stuff. And I very rarely am making decisions of like 2 hours at a time, spending time with content just myself.
Yeah.
And when I'm in those moments, I have a hard time. Like, it's a lot easier to say, oh, I know Julie's been really liking Never Have I Ever. Let's keep watching that. It's a lot easier to have those like couple decisions than it is. I might as well stop mid thought.
Well, that you know,
Madden 200.
You know, YouTube is really, really good at that because they have such an intimate knowledge of what you're watching for how long, sure. And you're basically, they know your demographics, right? They know how old you are. They know where you live. They know, you know, your ethnicity in a lot of cases, right? And they know everything.
A lot of Cialis ads.
They
you ever throw a VPN on and watch the ads that they serve up to you?
No, I don't.
Should do that sometimes.
I kind of get a kick out of the ads because, like, I'll, you know, I was searching for a, you know, the memory foam mattresses, like the ones that come in a box, because, you know, we were getting one for my son, and I've still we got one a couple weeks ago, but I still just every commercial is just different kind of mattresses. It's pretty funny that they haven't figured out that I already bought one yet. But anyway, it's they have such a vast network, probably the biggest one, of all of the things that you like and all of the things that you've watched, your history, and the billion other people who are on the site right now. After they watch this, they usually watch this. And so they can say, okay, this one you're probably going to like. Or if I watch a Seth Meyers clip and then I watch a Shaquille O'Neal clip, then they're going to say, oh, well, here's the time that Shaquille O'Neal was on Seth Meyers. Here you go. You know, and then they can kind of see that trend of what's the overlap. What are the things that you like this and you like this and you like this? We're going to give you things that have the most of those things together, and you're going to click on it, you know?
Do you think, like, is YouTube the content that they're watching in WALL-E? WALL-E?
I remember it. You're talking about like the obese people who are in the chairs and they're just like staring at the screen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't recall it being,
it's not YouTube. Described it's as not one branded thing or another. As that, but it, like, that's what I should be looking at. Like, it's good. You are right. It's good that it's like that. But like, I kind of like, I don't know. I kind of hate myself for just wanting to be fed content. Like, I kind of, you know, Idiocracy is another good reference movie of things. Like
oh, my balls.
I want to be incredibly discerning about everything in my life, but it's exhausting. And it's also exhausting to other people to be that way all the time. Like, when you get feedback that you're incredibly thoughtful, you should take that as good, but then also like you waste a lot of time thinking, man. you don't have to like it's just ketchup and mustard.
That compliment too.
it's just ketchup and mustard, man. You can have one or the other or both. No one cares. You're the one in charge. Just make the decision between those three options.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's, you know what, man, that's what makes you a good dude is that you're always thinking and stuff. And, you know, so what if at the end of the day, you don't want to think anymore and you just want something to manifest in front of you that's going to give you a kick for an hour before you drift off, you know?
What should I watch? I should watch MERS on Twitch.
You should watch MERS on Twitch. Dude, I think that's something you're just really get into. So
I like this. I like watching MERS on Twitch and then anything else and attractive women in bed.
Yeah, laying there, checking their phones.
And
cakes in their bosoms.
Yeah, and they got to have ASMR on there as well.
There's lots of ASMR. There's an NBA channel. You know, they play old games and stuff. There's probably an NHL one too.
There's like probably a lot of stuff. Okay, I'm going to switch over to that.
All right.
I was going to ask a question. Do you think they got a Roku app? Because that makes a big difference. I don't think they do.
You know, I have it on my Apple TV down here. I don't know that I've put it on any of the Rokus because I'm not sure anyone else in the house is interested in it as much as I
am. Android TV right over here too, so I assume
they've got to have it on there. I would be surprised if they didn't. Roku, they probably have one for Roku too, but
it is an Amazon. I mean, you got to keep in mind it's an Amazon company and it's a Google smart TV. So
yeah,
what's the smart TV, or what's the TV that you got down there that you have it on?
It's the old TV from the kitchen at work, from the old office.
Ah, it's a kitchen TV. So it's got all the apps.
It's a dumb-ish TV. But I have an old Apple TV that I use just down here. I don't watch TV down here a lot, but especially during like leading up to the inauguration and stuff, I had, you know, just stuff on as I'm working and stuff like that. But they've got to. If not, you know, check it out on your phone or whatever. But Jeff, do you like Twitch enough to create an account?
Ooh, like. To create an account so that it starts tracking my stuff and I know it, like for content engagement purposes, or like you want me to rival MERS and jump on there.
I would love if you did tips. That. I'd be stealing MERS's tips. That should be your channel. Well, you know,
by the way, MERS, I don't want that smoke, so
no. It's too late. I just tagged it.
I can't handle that at all. It's a non-starter.
Yeah. No, it's much like YouTube, where you create an account to track your subscriptions and everything like that, but you can also upload your own content, or in this case, stream your own content. So it's just you probably already have they already have your information anyway. Amazon knows everything about you. But yeah, man, create an account, check some of the stuff
out. I don't even have to create an account if it's an Amazon thing, right? I could just click the Amazon button and boom, I got a Twitch.
There might, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
That might be good. I mean, I'm check all about connecting all my information so that if I ever get compromised.
Then it's all
I'm all
or
about
nothing.
Taking care of people. So if someone wants to hack into my life, I just want to make sure that it's coherent, that they understand that I have 5 bank accounts. And you know, all I want them to have all my kids' social security numbers.
They get it all.
Just one or the other.
All in one. They don't have to keep going back to the well for that sucker blows and dumps out all over your basement.
And I want to support Bezos' climate pledge arena in Seattle. I think that's the most elegant and elegant name for a stadium.
Yeah,
and most authentic, and not a thinly veiled attempt to make it look like you're not
a shell corporation.
Yeah, like call it Amazon Arena. It sounds better. It's more honest.
Everyone knows.
Everyone knows, and then make it a green arena. Anyway, yes, I'll sign up for Twitch. I'm glad we're doing with Bezos.
You do that, and then you let me know if you get any tingles from any topless ladies. Hey, no, not topless. No.
I'll probably get more tingles from watching MERS than I would from anyone else.
That's what I like to hear.
Isn't the enjoyment, like, seriously, like, I'm sorry. I know we just ended. This is not a good way to, it just wrapped up. But I'm just curious. Like, I don't feel compelled to tip him to make that an enjoyable experience for me.
Yeah.
Like, I can watch him do that. And, like if I tell him to, like, rap about Fruit Loops or rap about Steve Yzerman. Actually, that might be funny because he might not know who the heck that is.
That's true.
But like, him doing that is no... I mean, if you were the one paying all the money, I'd actually enjoy that more.
You mean
because I'm watching it, I'm if everyone else is paying money, I guess that's the problem. Maybe I'm just a freeloader and everything in life is that like if no one pays, he's not gonna do it.
No, he gets paid by I think there's also ads, right? So if you have enough
and he's got money otherwise, I mean, he doesn't need to do that. Sure. At least I want to believe that. I would be really sad if, and I would go to just give him tips because I think he's really good and he's really talented, which is the same thing when I'm talking about an artist, good and talented. So he's talented and I like his work.
I don't think there's any expectation that people
So he would do it.
Hey,
no matter what.
Yeah. He's looked like there was like a couple hundred people on there watching him at the time that we just flashed over to him. He also, like, the amount of followers that he gets, which doesn't cost anything, increases his ad revenue on, you know, when there's ads shown before you join his stream. Subscribers is when you're pledging that you're going to spend $5 every month, you know, to be a member of the channel, and get different perks and like that. But there's by no means any expectation that that anyone has to do that. So,
all right,
don't worry about it.
I gotta go because I gotta go tell him to rap about Climate Pledge Arena.
All right. Well, thanks for chatting with me tonight, Jeff. On a Saturday night like this, I'm glad to hear from you. And to anyone who made it this far, thank you for listening to us and supporting us. We'll talk to you.
Send help. Send help.
Send help.
Come babysit so I can sleep all day tomorrow.
Oh man, wouldn't that be nice?